change have greatly improved my life. It's changed it. It's a true change. I've been born again for about 10 years, but in the last 2 years been my strongest walk. And if you'll give me a little bit tonight to explain it, because everything that's happened is not something that's, I wouldn't say it's not easily explainable, but it takes a little bit. And I want to explain it to you through the Word, not how it happened. I held off tonight for a reason because the Holy Spirit told me to. I know normally on Thursday night we come down front right after worship when we have prayer. And it's a time to get hands laid on and hear from God and receive from Him. But the Holy Spirit told me not to do that tonight. How many of you have come here? Let's be honest tonight. I've been there. You've come here and you were looking for something and you left and you never got it. Have you ever had that happen? I have. It's frustrating, isn't it? To come for an answer and you don't get one. Or somebody told you what it was, but you still didn't get it, and you thought you had it, and you left, and nothing still happened. I know what that frustration's like. But God showed me how. He helped me figure it out. And that's why I'm here tonight, to help you guys figure it out. It's not that I know everything. It's not that I got it all figured out. Nobody does. And if you would listen to some of the greatest out there, people that I learned by, some of my teachers. Kenneth Copeland is someone I follow very closely. He's my spiritual father. And even he would tell you what he knows is very little. But I'm going to show you what I've been taught tonight, and I'm going to show you how it works and why it works, and show you the victory that I've come through, and the same thing you can have. And you can have it tonight, and you don't have to leave without it. You can have it tonight. Is anybody in here looking for something tonight? Did you come for answers? Did you want to leave with something? Praise God. Father, help them. In Hosea 4:6, I read out of the King James, but in mine, it says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And God had impressed something on me when he told me to hold you back until the end of the service. Because one of the biggest reasons why we leave here without anything, or why it never happens, is because we didn't have knowledge of how it worked. We didn't know how to receive it. We didn't know how we got it. We just come down. We knew we needed it, but we never got it. Have you ever been around somebody that didn't know how to do something? Maybe you've been there. I've been there. Say you go to the job site, for you guys that know, or I'm just going to give an example, and you went to the job site and somebody was using a tool in the other way that, in a way it wasn't supposed to be used. Somebody trying to maybe put nails in with a screw gun. Doesn't work too well, does it? You know, using a tool in the manner that it's not designed to do. But you know, that person, some people would look at them and they think, man, what a stupid person. But then somebody else that would look at them that maybe just went through that would think, wow, you know, that's somebody that just isn't, they don't know. They don't have the knowledge or the wisdom to do it. See, it's not that they're stupid. It's not that they couldn't do it or couldn't have it. They just didn't know how. And a lot of times we come down here and we'll get prayer, but when we leave, it doesn't happen. What we asked for or what we wanted to get just didn't come through. And there's reasons for that, and we're going to hit on some of them tonight. If you would go to the Gospel of Mark, let's go to Mark chapter 6. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things, and what wisdom in this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of the James, of Josiah, and Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor but his own country, and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and then he went around about the villages teaching. I want to go back up to verse 2, because it says there, he began in the synagogue teaching. That's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to teach. He went teaching, and then he went to do his works. But if you notice, they got offended at him. They didn't look at him who he was. They looked at him in his person, in his flesh. See, he was in his hometown. They looked at him as the boy that grew up, the boy that they knew, somebody that they were just familiar with, and they didn't realize who he was. But notice he started out teaching. He started out teaching because, as if you'd read in the book of Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He always taught faith. That's what Jesus did. That's what tonight's about. It's about faith and about understanding it, about learning it, about getting it. And he began to teach in the synagogue. And if you notice, it said, and many hearing him. So they heard what he said, but they didn't listen to him. They were offended at him. It was a teaching they weren't familiar with. It was something that they didn't understand. They were stuck in the religious ways, and they wouldn't change. And he told them, he said, a prophet's not without honor but his own country and among his own kin. This is his own people in his own house. And there it says he could do no mighty works. Said there he could do it. He could do no mighty works. Didn't say he wouldn't do it. Said he could not do it. He wanted to. Said he laid his hands on a few sick folk, and then that was it. A few sick folk means there was more than just a few. There was more to be healed, but only a few would accept. Only a few would listen to him. Only a couple of them would take it. And he marveled at him. He didn't understand it. Before this had all happened, he had already raised somebody from the dead, little girl, Jairus' daughter. Already healed a woman with the issue of blood, done many miracles, too many that are not even in here. He'd been doing some works and they'd heard about it, and they still wouldn't believe him. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then it says, and he went around about the villages teaching. You notice he started out teaching. He got a little bit of result, but he didn't get what he wanted. So what did he do? He went back and taught. Why did he go back and teach? Teaching cures unbelief. Teaching fixes the problem. They didn't understand, so he went back. He didn't give up on them. He didn't walk away. He didn't say, well, they didn't get it. They're not going to get it. No. That's how God's love is. He doesn't give up on you. If you didn't get it 1 week, come back. He's not done with you. He's not going to give up on you. Come back and listen. I know we normally hear the same things every week, but guess what? Tonight's something different. Maybe tonight's your night. I believe it is. I think tonight everybody in here is going to get something. I know they have. And I know that because the presence of the Lord is always here to heal, deliver, whatever it is you need. It's always here. You see, God never walks away. We do. And he impressed upon me, there's nothing wrong with worshiping the Lord. But If you think you have to worship the Lord and then come down here to get something from him, you don't have to sweet talk God into getting something from him. He gives you those things because he loves you, just like your healing. I'm picking on healing a lot tonight because it's one of the biggest areas we struggle in. I struggled in it for a long time. Everything else from there is just minor, but healing, it's personal, isn't it? You can walk away from a bill that can't be paid, or you can get some relief by just getting away, but you just can't get away from yourself, can you? You can't get away from the pain. You can't get away from the hurt. It sticks with you because, well, it's in you. It's there. And I want you to notice, he said down here in verse 7, he said, and he called unto his 12 and began to send them out forth two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for the journey, except staff and only scrip, no bread, no money. He sent them out. Why? Because he sent out his workers so he could do what? He could stay and fix the wrong. So he could teach. That's what we're sent for. You notice he give them power. Give them power to go do perform the things that he did. Give them everything they needed. He said, don't take anything with you. God provides your way. He'll provide the answers. He'll provide everything you need for the trip, whatever it is. He'll give you the word. He'll give you the finances, whatever it is when you go in the kingdom. I wanted to share that with you tonight. He had me open up with that because I know you don't know me. You know who I am. I work security here. I take care of that. Do things in the back. Bring out Bibles. Jimmy helps me. And that's who you look at me as somebody that serves in the church. And that's who I am. And that's the job and the title that's been given to me here. But understand something. It doesn't matter where you're at in your walk in your life. If God calls you to go do something, be obedient and go do it. I'll tell you, you get up here, it don't feel right. It doesn't. But you know what? I've been up here before. And when you're called to come up here, it will feel right. He's the one that does the works, not you. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That's Philippians 4:13. That's a good one to put down in your book and remember. I want you to go over and stay in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to do most of our stuff out of Mark tonight. Mark's got good stuff. He's got good things everywhere. Amen. But tonight he's just speaking to us right out of Mark. Let's go to chapter 11. Mark 11:11. And I wanted to share this with you tonight. This is one of the biggest things that ever changed my life when I got a hold of this. And when I understood what it really meant. There's things that'll just, you know, that one word from God will change your life forever. And it truly will. And the first time I'd ever had this explained to me and taught to me, it changed me. And I'm going to show you tonight through his word how it works. See, there's things in here that's hidden from the normal man, from the man of the flesh, from the world. But those things are revealed to us by God, his children, the born-again believer, someone that's baptized in the Holy Spirit. In chapter 11, verse 11, it said, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he's in here all day. Doesn't say he said anything. Doesn't say he did anything. He's in there all day. And he's looking around. What do you suppose he was looking for? He was looking for faith. He was looking for somebody with faith. For somebody that was using faith. For somebody that was looking for him. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And he came to it and he found nothing but leaves. For the time of the figs was not yet. I want to stop right there and explain something to you. It says, for the time of the figs was not yet. But he came to it happily if he might find something. These fig trees aren't like around here like an apple tree and an orange tree, you know. It says, for the time of the figs was not met, not yet. It means what it's saying there is it wasn't like an orange tree or an apple tree or whatever, you know, where we think of harvest time. And it just wasn't that time yet. Like it just, like he'd come early. Like he was expecting it before it was supposed to be there. It said, seeing the tree afar off, having leaves, he came happily. See, when he seen it far off and it had leaves, these fig trees over there, the way they work, is by the time it has leaves, it should have already produced a fig. The figs come at the same time or before the leaves. That's why he came happily, if he might find. But see, it goes down here and it says, but the time of the figs was not yet. That's not, it wasn't like a lot of times, and I read it that way one time. I thought, well, why in the world did he come there expecting something if it's not time yet? Well, it was time. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereever, forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, this is something very important. This is something you need to get right here. You notice Jesus said unto it. Said he answered and he said unto it. Who was he talking to? The disciples? No. He was talking to the tree. He was talking to the tree. He wasn't talking to anybody else. You notice he said he answered it. And he said unto it. He answered the tree. How do you answer a tree? Did it say something to him? Yeah, it did. He said he was hungry. And he came to it happily if he might find something thereon. That tree looked at him and he said, you ain't getting nothing to eat today. Keep walking. And you know, we know who's standing here looking at this thing and talking to it. The same being that's standing there talking to it that just cursed this tree said, no man eat fruit of thee hereever, forever. Is the same one that created that tree. And his disciples heard it. What did they hear? They heard faith. They heard faith spoke. And when they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and brought into the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And his scribes and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when the even was come, he went out of that city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up by the roots. It's about 24 hours later since he spoke to that tree. And here was this living tree, had leaves, everything on it but fruit. 24 hours later, they walked by and they see this tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling unto remembrance, saith unto him, behold, the fig tree that thou cursed is withered away. Just do that. I feel like right now we should go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, 6. Actually, let's start at 5. What I'm going to tell you here is going to explain what's happening at that fig tree. It's going to give you a better insight of what's going on there and how this works. Matthew 8 and 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saying unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said unto them that followed, truly I say unto you, it says verily, that means truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, so be it done as thou hast believed. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. There's a lot going on there that we don't see. There's a lot of stuff there that I never seen until God give me eyes and ears to see it and hear it. He's going to give you that tonight. When he went back up, when he come to him, notice Jesus said unto him, after he said, when that centurion come to him, he just told him what was going on. He never asked him to come. He never asked Jesus to heal him, to come and heal. He never asked him to do anything. All he just said was, my servant's sick. And Jesus said what? Well, I'll come instantly. Never even asked him. See, Jesus come with a servant's heart. He wasn't a servant, but he come with a servant's heart and an attitude. He just ready to go. And the centurion answered and said, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Now, this is where you got to get this. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man. Now, this is where it comes in. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And another, do, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. How'd you like to have Jesus marvel at you? I mean, can you imagine that when he was standing there? He just went like this and went... What did you just say? You know that's how it was. That's how I see it. What did you just say to me? And he sat there and looked at him and he thought, I can't believe this. And he looked at the others and he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. Remember when it says when Jesus heard it, he heard faith. That's what he's looking for. I want you to notice the reason why he marveled at him. Because the centurion gave the exact description of how faith works. That's why he said, I'll just take you at your word and I'll go. I'm going to read it for you again. For I am a man under authority. At that point, Jesus was under somebody's authority, wasn't he? The Father. And he says, I have soldiers under me. Jesus has soldiers under him. And he says, I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do, and he doeth it. You know, Jesus has a servant too. And it's not us. We're children. Your servant is faith. Get a hold of that. It'll change your life. Change mine. You want to know how to get it? This is how you get it. Go, come, and do are three big words there. What does a servant do? He goes, he comes, and he does. That's what a servant does. He said, go thy way as thou hast believed, and that will be done. You see, he didn't need Jesus to come. He said, speak the word only. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, faith is in the word. See, we get that mixed up a lot of times. We hear faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We think faith comes by hearing. Faith does not come by hearing. Faith comes from his word. Hearing is an avenue it comes in. What if you were deaf and you couldn't hear? Would that mean you would never get faith? No. You have eyes too. See, this is just a process center up here. It comes in by hearing, seeing. What if you were deaf and blind? God's given you feeling in your fingertips so you can feel it in Braille. It's a physical sense that just brings it in. That's how it comes in. It says, go thy way as thou hast believed, and it'll be done. And guess what? His servant was healed in the hour. Why? Let's go back to chapter 11, Mark 11. And let's take a little closer look at what just happened over at that fig tree. Chapter 11, 13, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came happily if he might find anything thereon, and he came to it and he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now we know why he said what he said to it, right? And he answered and he said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereever, forever. You know what he really said to that tree? You wicked, unproducing servant. I created you to produce at this time so you could feed us. And you disobeyed. Now nobody will ever eat fruit of you from here ever. And his disciples heard it, and we've seen what happened. It happened. What Jesus said to it was what made it happen. See, Jesus went up to that tree, and he spoke to it. Did that tree listen to him? It sure seems that way. But the tree didn't listen to him. He spoke to the tree. Faith, his servant, obeyed him. The tree obeyed faith. He sent his servant to go do it. That's why he walked away, because his servant took over. He sent his servant to go do what he needed done. Why? Because he doesn't have time to sit there and do that. He's busy doing what? The Father's works. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have time for those things in life, those issues in life, those unproducing fig trees in life, do we? We're supposed to be doing doing the kingdom's work. Sickness, unpaid bills, lack of money, things getting in our way. We're supposed to be doing the work of the kingdom. That's why God gave us faith, so we can go do his work and let faith go do his. He spoke to it, and he cursed it. Faith is your servant. You send faith to go do what you need done so you can go do what he wants done. When he walked up to it, and he said those things, it happened. He sent his servant out. Now, this is something about faith that we need to get that I've learned. When you go to send your servant to do something, your servant knows what he's doing. Remember, who made faith? Think about that. Faith come from the Word. Who spoke the Word? God. Whose servant is that? That's God's servant. You don't need to tell God's servant what to do. You don't need to tell him how to do what he's doing. If you needed to tell him how to do it, you wouldn't have needed him in the first place, would you? You see, that's the thing about faith. That's why faith's so important. Because faith can go where you can't go. Faith can see what you can't see. Faith can do what you can't do. That's why you send faith. Do you know when faith's done? Do you know when it's finished? It's finished when faith is done with it. You don't need to check in on your servant, because when your servant gets done with his assigned task, he'll tell you. I'll give you an example of it right here. He talked to the tree. He sent faith forth. Faith obeyed him. The tree obeyed faith. On the next day when they come walking back by, the tree was dried up from the roots. You see, faith goes to the root of the problem, whatever it is. Faith works from the inside out. Faith goes where you can't go. Faith sees what you can't. It went right to the root of the problem. You see, when did it work? When he spoke it, or when he seen it? When he spoke it. Faith went work right then. It was told what to do, and it went and did it. It went right to the roots. Did anybody see anything right there? No. No, because it just started to work. Be patient. James, if you would go read in the book about James 1:2, he talks in there